Okay, today is Daf Kuf Chaf Hey. Today's Daf is sponsored by the Han family. Zecha Nishmas, Howie's uncle, Binyamin Ben Yaakov. Howie's grandfather, Avraham Ben Shlomo. Judy's grandparents and uncle who perished in the Shoah on Chas Nisan, Achav Yisrael Ben David, Rivka Bas Yitzhak, and Yehuda Ben Achav Yisrael. May the Neshamos each have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are going to start, pick up the last two words of Kuchav Dalal and Mabez where the Mishnah begins. So the Mishnah is now going to sort of switch gears, but continue gears, to discuss Tumas Ohel. Tumas Ohel is essentially if there is a dead body. So there are three potential ways of contracting Tumas Ohel. A live person can make an Ohel over that dead body, or the Kazayis of the Basa of the dead body, or the dead Kazayis of the Basa can make an Ohel over the person, or the person and the carcass are going to be in the same room with a tent over them. Those are the three ways. So, we have now... Oh, and the other thing to remember is that marrow inside a bone is considered basar. Okay. So, kulius. So, kulius is a bone. It's really the thigh bone, but it's really the code word for any bone. Kulius hames. So, I have the kulius of a mace. Rashi says kulius hames is tamei. And the Gemara says kulius hames, right? Rashi says tamei in the bottom. The ha etzem kisaora b'mace. Now, when it comes to a bone, even an etzem kisaora, the size of a barley, of a mace, is metama b'magu b'masa. If you touch it or you carry it, that or you move it, right, that's going to be tamei. So kulyas of mace, ukulyas hamidoshim, and also kulyas of an animal that was a karbon that became nosar upigal, right, became nosar. Rashi says, quotes the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, or Mishnah Pesachim, ha-pigl v'ha-nosar metanin sayadayim. We say pigl and nosar are retayim the Kohen's yadayim. Why? The Gemara says, because we're afraid that the Kohanim would want to get back at somebody, and they would say that the thing became pigl, and we left it over nosar, and they say they don't get b'shogis, they won't be chayim. So we said that if you touch pigl and nosar, your hands become tameh. I don't know if they really want to get somebody, they would still maybe do it, but okay. So that's v'kulis v'tashim ha-nogeya behen, so we're going to focus on that point. Yeah, can you find it? You found your Gemara? Okay. Okay, so Kulius HaMukdashim had Nogeya Behen Bein Tzitumim Bein Nikuvim Tamei. So if you touch this, let's focus on the Kulius HaMeis. If you touch this bone, or if you touch this bone, or you move it, whether or not the bone is punctured or not, meaning whether or not there's access to the marrow inside or not, it itself gives off tumor. Now, Kulyas nevela, the kulyas hasheretz, so the kulyas, like the thigh of a nevela and the thigh of a sheretz, right? Hanogeya behen, so that bone of them, if you touch them, stumim, if they are closed to horim, nikuvim kolshehu mitame. If they are completely sealed, then there's no tumah because you don't have access to the marrow. If there's a puncture, even if it's really small, then it's considered that it's considered to be a shomer for the marrow inside, and touching the bone will create that as if you're touching the marrow. But why is it not considered a shomer if it's totally sealed? So Rashi points out, it's on the third short line, the afakav the shomer machnesu motzi tuma, hani mili bidavar she'efsher liga b'tuma atzma. The only time you have a rule of a shomer is if there's a shomer, but you could theoretically get to what's inside. You can get to what, touch what's inside. Afilu no nagaba ela b'shomer tamei. Only, but even if you don't touch it inside, you just touch the shomer. About hecha the ef shaligah b'tuma atzma, but in a situation where you can't touch the tuma itself inside, ain't shomer tamei. So then the outside is not considered a shomer. Then it can be a shomer if you need shmira. There's no need for shmira; it's not considered a shomer. Question it is though, with the whole thing we looked at back when we started shomer, we're talking about the peels of an apple. Well, with the peel of an apple, you can't. Well, that's maybe edible, but the peel of something that's not edible, you can't touch the inside. So why is that considered a shomer?
Like a walnut,
like a chita. So he said, because that's from the pasuk of Zera Zeruah. Anything that you would plant that with the peel, that's considered a shomer. Okay. So that's case number three. And then he says, Uminayin af bimasa. How do we know that the atzamos of a nevela, right, are metama even by carrying? It's because you don't touch it. Right, you're not touching it. It's just carrying it. Talmud Omar, Hanogeya, right? Pasuk says Hanogeya b'nivlasa yitma da'arev, and it says v'hanoses es nivlasa. So it has touching and carrying. Noseh v'nogeya and noseh. So etche bo l'chlal maga b'alchal masa. Anything that will convey tumah by touching will convey tumah by masa, by carrying. Lo bo l'chlal maga, if it doesn't convey tumah by touching, lo bo l'chlal masa, then it's not going to convey tumah by carrying. So the question then is, the Gemara had mentioned now, the focus on the first part, which is the kulyas hames. So Mishnah mentioned the kulyas hames, which was this bone of a human, of a corpse. He said that, it's completely sealed off, it has marrow inside, whatever, it's the bone of the corpse, it's metame if you touch it, right? Hanogeya behen, it's touching. So the Gemara asks, nogeya in aval mahilo. Inference seems to be that it's only metame if you touch it, not if you have the din of Oel. Tosos asks, well, what about the fact that it doesn't say masa either. So we say, no, based on what the Mishnah said at the end, if it's nogeya, it's masa. But the inference is that there's no Oel. Nogeya in, aval mahi olo. So what's going on? Why not? Why would you not get, if there's moach inside, then it's considered flesh. So you mahil over the flesh, you should contract tumor. If there's no a bone itself without bone of a corpse without any moach, without any marrow inside, does not give off tumah by oel, only by magal masa. That's what our Mishnah said. So the Mishnah is asking, why is there no tumas oel over here? So Gemara says, heichidami, what's the case? Id ika kezayis basar, if there is a kezayis basar on this bone, so then ba oel namili tumah. Then you should also get tumah via oel. But the Gemara says the lack of kezayis basar. There is no kezayis basar. It's stripped of any flesh, and there's no basar on there. The Gemara says, okay, fine. But what about the idi ika kezayis moach bifnim? If it has a kezayis of moach inside, well then tumah bokas v'ola. The idea by tumas oel is that if you have a corpse and there isn't a and there's a cover on it basically, but the cover is less than a tefach over the corpse, then it's as if the cover isn't there, and the tumah goes up to the shemayim, goes up to the rakia. That's the whole issue with flying over, you know, the cemeteries, right? The people get zipped up. But if you have a space of the tefach, then it becomes a chatzitz and it stops. But there's no space. So if there's moach inside the bone, well, then there's no tefach in there. So the tumah of the bone should be bokalas va'ola. You should have tumah. You should have tumas oel.
And that's by the oel. It's considered oel.
If you go over it, you'll be over oel. Right, so this is right. So the tumor, the marrow is inside, and this is covering it. So the tumor just is going to expand out. So why does the Mishnah say there's no tumas oel? There should be tumas oel as well here as well. The idika kezayis mo b'bichnim tumor bokas v'oel. Sorry, tumor bokas v'ola, but oel nami li tame, and therefore it should also be tame. So the Gemara says the leka kezayis mo b'bichnim. There isn't a kezayis mo inside. How exactly do you know to start with? I'm not sure. I thought the best answer I saw was, you didn't know to start with. Someone passed over it, and they wanted to see what the story was. Is it tum or not? And then they opened up the bone, and there was no moach. So that's how they knew. You can't know beforehand. Right? So, e-deleka kezayis moach bifnim. So, deleka kezayis moach bifnim. So, we don't have a kezayis basar, and we don't have a kezayis of marrow, of moach on the inside. So, then the Gemara says, okay, wait a second. This is a little hard. V'e-moach mi bifnin ma'ale aruka mi bachutz. Aver ma'al yehi, ba'ol namali tame. So what's that? So let's read Rashi. If there's a kezayis of moach, if there would have been a kezayis of moach inside, that would allow the flesh on the outside to regenerate, if this bone was still attached to a live human, then the bone is considered flesh itself. Right? So Rashi says, kushihi. Amai ein ba'ol, kasavar, where did it go? The E, okay. So it's the second Rashi of the Gemara. Right. The E kasavar moach shebifnim ma'ale arucha lebasar mimichutz. So if you hold, and I don't know if you hold, if the metzias is, the Gemara is saying that there's an assumption, according to some people, that if a bone that's attached to a human is stripped of its, a live human, and it's stripped of its flesh, the moach inside can cause the flesh to regenerate on the outside. That's the assumption that they're making over here. Medically, whether it's true or not, I don't know. But if you make that assumption, so then if you have a bone that would be the scenario, so then even if there is no moach inside, the bone is viewed as if the flesh has regenerated, and the bone itself is now considered an aver, and there should be too much oil on that bone. Right, Rashi says, Afal gav id k'saver molchem ifnim mala ruchel abasim ruchutz, afal gav de leka moach, even if you don't have moach there. And now, ho'al ube mechubar, had it been attached l'chai, to a live person, sof ha'moach l'abah, the moach is going to come in, Shari pa'amim, sometimes shamoach kulo kolo, sometimes the moach completely disappears, the chozer comes back, ba'yadei ha'moach, through this moach, gadol ha'basar mimalo, the outside, the flesh regenerates, im came below basar u below moach, chashiv aver kol etzem cholo. Every aver should count as a piece of flesh, I guess, and therefore be tame. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Berei de Rav Chiya, Zosomeris, from the fact that the Mishnah does not entertain this possibility, we see Moach Bifnim Eino Mal Aruka Bechutz. We see that this possibility is not something that the Mishnah is, that the Chacham accounted for. We don't hold that the Moach on the inside is going to regenerate it on the outside. So there's two ways I can think about it. Either you can say that it's a Macholus Metzias, or they can say whatever regenerates from the inside is not viewed by the Chachamim as being flesh, and therefore they're not going to view this bone. So now we're at the point, basically, of saying that why does the Mishnah say there's no? Why does the Mishnah say there is no tumas ohel if by this aver of the corpse? Because A, there's no kazayis basar, and B, there's no moach on the inside, and even if there's no moach on the inside, it doesn't regenerate on the outside. So we're talking about a case where there's no kazayis of basar. So the Gemara says, okay.
Why is basar better than marrow?
Basar itself is what creates the tumor, so generates the tumor.
No,
basar itself is the tumor. Okay, that's b'mayu kimta. So Gemara says, so what did we just establish the Mishnah as? Dileka kazayis. We said that there's no kazayis. There's no kazayis of basar, and there's no kazayis of moach on the inside. So, okay, that's why the etzem of the bone of the corpse, is not going to transmit tumor via ol. The Gemara says, okay, that's great for the first part, but we had other cases in the Mishnayos. I hachi, look at the continuation of the Mishnah. Bin mukdashim, amai metame. Why then by the mukdashim did we say that it's metame the kohanim? Nosar, as Rashi points out, Nosar, by the stakana, does not transmit tumah less than a kazayis. The Mishnah says that the case in the Mishnah says that the Nosar is going to transmit tumah. We just said the case of the Mishnah is lacking kazayis. How does a piece of Nosar that's lacking kazayis transmit tumah? Right, Rashi says, I hachi b'mukdashin amai temeim, harei lo shimshu Nosar. No one touched any Nosar. There ain't Nosar pachos mikazayis. There's no concept of Nosar less than a kazayis. The Sioux, and a further question, if we're talking about a case where there is no kazayis of moach inside the bone, kulius nevela v'kulius hasheretz ki nikvu amai metamu. We said if you had the bone of the nevela, or the bone of the sheretz, that has a small hole in it, it's metamu by touching it, because you're now touching the shomer of the... If there's no kazayis of moach inside, well then there's no shomer, because there's nothing inside to guard. The kazayis doesn't count. Right? He says, v'ki nikvu amai metamu, Rashi says, Ha'amaran, we said, the ain't shomrin mitstarfin l'tumor chamura. We don't allow the shomer to be mitstarif to the lack to the lack of shear on the inside. So what's going on if you don't have a kazayis of moach? So Gemara says, halokasha resha de leka kazayis sefer the ikazayis. We'll split the case. We'll split the baby. The resha that's talking about the corpse bone is talking about a case where there is no kazayis of moach on the inside. The next part of the Mishnah, which is talking about Nosar, and talking about the Nevel and the Sheretz, does have a kazayis of Moach on the inside. So, Amai Kamash Malan, and what's it come to teach us? Mili Kamash Malan. It's teaching us a Chiddush in each case. Number one, Resha, that's telling us that there is no kazayis on the inside, and nevertheless, we say that there is no Tumas Oel, teaches us, the Moach Mibifnin, Eino Mal Aruka Bechutz. It gives us the Chiddush to teach us that we don't view the possibility of regeneration, if it was attached, we don't view the possibility of regeneration. That's what it teaches us in the Resha. And by Mukdashin, what is teaching us by Mukdashin? It teaches Maika Mashmalon, Shimush Nosar Milsi. So he's teaching us that something that serves the Nosar, I don't get this point exactly, it's teaching us something that serves the Nosar is considered important. Right, the Amar Mari Baravu Amar Biotzak Aksamos Kachim, bones of Kachim Sheshimshu Nosar, which I guess would somehow serve the Nosar, which moved the Nosar, Mitamis Yadayim, they are Mitamis Yadayim, Hol Vinase Basis Dabar Asr, because they became a Basis Dabar Asr. So too over here, we're going to say, all this is a Din Darabanan, the Takana Darabanan that says that the Nosar is Mitamis, that includes anything that services the Nosar. So the bone here as well, which services the Nosar, because it's a Basis for the Moach on the inside, will create this Tumah Darabanan. That's what we learn in part two. And by the Nevela, it's teaching us, Afal Gav di Ika Kazayas, even though there is a Kazayas on the inside, because again, our Mishnah is established in the case, the second part of the Mishnah is that there is a Kazayas of Moach on the inside, Afal Gav di Ika Kazayas, Nikva in, Lo Nikva Lo. It only will transmit Tumah if there's a small hole in the bone. But then it becomes a shomer. But if there is no hole in the bone, we say there's no shmirah, because the chiddush that we mentioned is that it's only considered a shomer if you have access to what's inside. If the bone is completely sealed up and there's no access to the moloch inside, the bone is not going to be considered a shomer, and therefore there wouldn't be tumah. So according to this first answer, the Mishnah, we've split the baby. The first part of the Mishnah is where there is no kazayas, and that's why it's not matam ba'ol. And the second part of the Mishnah is, second and third part is where there is a kazayas of moach on the inside. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, no, I'm going to give a different answer. So I thought he said Amar Abaye. I was going to say there is a kazayas. No, he argues on that weird thing, that he says, la'olam moach mibifnim mala ruka miyuchutz. Really, moach mibifnim can, had the bone been attached to a live person, and the meat got flesh, the flesh got stripped off the bone, the moach on the inside could regenerate. Therefore, we're going to view the bone as an aver. We do say that. We do say moach mibifnim mala ruka miyuchutz. But nevertheless, hakav ma'iskinan, why here do we say that the bone cannot transmit to an ol? Shvishesh shafa. Bless you. Because it was scraped. Is that what translates shafa? That it was scraped. That scraped away? Scraped away, okay. That it was scraped. Right, shafa like always means like the carpenter, like they scraped the wood, right? Sheepoy.
Yeah, so that part, it couldn't be generated.
Correct. So it's uchid the Rabbi Lazar, but not basically. Rabbi Lazar, Adam Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar says, kuliyesh shafa la'arka t'meya, l'rachba tahora. That a bone that is scraped vertically is still considered tamei, I guess because somehow the at other parts, since that's tamei, but if it's scraped horizontally, where it's completely make a ring across the middle, so that somehow cuts the bone in such a way that won't allow it to regenerate, like you said. So our case must be talking about a case where the bone was scraped horizontally across the whole circumference of the bone. And therefore, it is going to be, that's why it's not, even though moach mibifnim mala ruka b'chutz, in this case, it's not going to happen because it was scraped across the circumference. The simanach, the siman to know which way of scraping a bone stops the regeneration and which way does not, the simanach is dikla. It's like a deka, like a certain tree, and if you peel away the bark, apparently, if you peel away the bark vertically, your bark will regenerate. If you peel away the bark horizontally, that part, I guess, will not regenerate because you stripped it completely. That's what the Gemara says.
No,
there's no meat, and there's no marrow in the inside.
How you remove
it. And there's no marrow on the inside. Forget the meat. It's talking about the marrow on the inside. Since, do we view the bone, do we view the bone of a corpse as something, as its own aver, meaning that it would be metaba ol, depends on whether or not you have this concept of regeneration had it been attached. If you say it would regenerate if it had been attached, then the bone is considered an aver, it's considered a piece of meat. If you don't say it regenerates, it's considered a bone, and it's not going to give transmit all.
It would regenerate only potentially if you have marrow inside, no?
Correct. Had it had the marrow, and had it been attached, it would regenerate, so then we change our halachic view of what this bone is. Okay. Rav Yochanan gives another answer. He says, no. Well, Olam, when Mishnah is talking about the same thing, because Abaye doesn't change the difference. The Abaye still holds that there's a difference with a kazayas. There's no kazayas on the front and the Ravisha, and the Sefer does have a kazayas. Rav Yochanan, and therefore he only changes this regeneration concept. Rav Yochanan says no. La'olam di'ika kazayas. There is a kazayas of Moach. So we don't have to go on to this, right? And he says, v'moach mibifnim malaruga machutz. He also holds like Abaye that this concept of regeneration. So if it's a kazayas of Moach, right? Let's say you have the kazayas of Moach on it. So I don't know if you have the kazayas. I don't know why you need this Moach mibifnim came. But if it's a kazayas of Moach, and so why doesn't the Mishnah mention OL? Because the Mishnah does mention OL. my nogeya dekatani. What does it mean, nogeya? That the Mishnah mentions nogeya. That means mahil. Nogeya means mahil. Interesting. Okay. So the Gemara says, if it means, right, Rashi says, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines on the bottom. My nogeya mahil. Mahil nami b'mashna. When you say nogeya, that also includes ohel. Kedemefarish v'aziel, and we're going to come on and explain eventually, te'ika tana de kari lemal nogeya. There are tanaim that when they're discussing ohel, they call it maga. And he said, so the Gemara then asked him, okay, the e moch v'efnim, mal ruch v'chutz, if the moch, if you have this regeneration process, kulius nevela, the kulius hasheretz, ki lo nikvu, amai tahorin. Well, wait a second. If you have, if you hold that moch b'bifnim is mal ruka b'chutz, and I have the moch inside, so therefore I know that it's going to regenerate. So why, in the case of the nevel nesheretz, even if it's not punctured, it should still be matameh? We said the only reason why it's not matameh if it's not punctured because it doesn't function as a shomer. I don't need it to function as a shomer anymore. It's functioning as a piece of meat now because you have the moch inside that can cause the regeneration on the outside. So why is it not considered tameh if you touch it? Even if you touch it when there's no hole in it. So Amar Rabbi Yamin Bar Gidel, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hachim Ha'eskinan, what are we talking about over here? He going to Ika Kezayis Moach HaMiskashkesh. The moach on the inside is a little dried out or something like that, and therefore that can't regenerate. It can't regenerate. So it can't cause the bone to be viewed as something else, I guess, right? So the Gabi Mace, when it comes to the tumor of a corpse, the Gabi Mace, tumor bokas va'ola. Well, I have the moach on the inside. I still have moach here. It's dried out moach. I have moach on the inside, so the busser itself can then go up into the air, and that's what's going to be the time of everything. But by nevela, kevan de miskashkesh, since it's this dried up thing, nikva in lo nikva lo. So if it's dried up, the only reason why we said the nevela could become tame is because the moach is going to cause the regeneration. By the corpse, I don't need regeneration. It's there, and it's going to propel upwards. By the nevela, it would only cause tuma if it regenerates. This cannot regenerate. So if it cannot regenerate, so it's not going to do it. Itself is still there. So when would you become tuma if you have access to it? If you don't have access to it, it's not going to cause tuma. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to focus on the words of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that the tuma of an ohel is called maga. So where do we see that? Rabbi Yochanan's an Amora. Where's his source to tell me that tuma of an ohel is sometimes called maga? That's, I think, the remainder of that. Amar Rav Avin, the Itim Rav Yosef Bar Avin, some say it was Rav Yosef, his son. Af Anan Nami Tanina. We also have a Mishnah where Ol is called Maga, right? Because it says this is a Mishnah in Olos Perakimel Mishnah Aleph, which is interesting also because this is a Mishnah in Idios Perakimel Mishnah Aleph. So they have the cases as follows. Hanogeya Bechatzi Zayas. So there's a corpse and there's flesh. And in one hand, I am touching chatzi zayis. In order to contract tumah, you have to have a kazayis. So I'm touching chatzi zayis with one hand. Umayil al chatzi zayis on the other side. And I'm over here, I'm mahil on another chatzi kazayis. Or chatzi zayis mahil of. Or my other hand is over here, and the chatzi zayis is, you know, causing a canopy over me. Basically, it's two things. On one hand, I'm touching, and on the other hand, it's ol. And the Mishnah says there, Tamei, that you're a Tamei. And the Gemara says, Iyamar Pishlama Chad Shemahu, if you hold that sometimes Ohel is called Maga, meaning they're under the same category, then I understand why the two are going to combine to make me Tamei. Because it's two items, two Chesi Kazesim of the same category, can combine to make me Tamei. Right? Iyamar Pishlama Chad Shemahu, Mishum Hachi Mitzarif. That's why it combines. But if you're going to tell me that OL is OL and MAGA is MAGA, how in the world do these two separate tumas come together to make me tummy? Right? Me mitzdarif. How can they combine? V'hatnan, the end of that Mishnah Ola says, Zechal, this is the rule, Kol shehu mishem echa mitzdarif v'tamei, mishnei tama, sorry, Kol shehu mishem echa mitzdarif v'tamei, mishnei shemos tahor. Only things that can combine is if they have this under the same category. If they're not under the same category, they can't combine. So I have one thing I'm touching, one thing I'm mahil, and it says I'm tamei. Must be because of the same category. You see the Tana that says that we call maga ohel. So Gemara says, wait a second. Okay, that's great from the beginning of that Mishnah. Let's continue reading that Mishnah in all of those. Elamai, Chad Shmahu, it's all the same name. So if it's all the same name, then every case of Olam Maga should combine. But name a Seifa. Let's look at the Seifa of that Mishnah in Olos. Aval, the case would be if Nogeya Chatzik Zayas, if he's touching a Chatzik Zayas, V'dover Achir Ma'il Alav Yal Chatzik Zayas, not that you're Ma'il on it or it's Ma'il on you, you and another Chatzik Zayas are in the tent. The third category way of making a Tumas Oel. Tumas Oel is three ways. I make a tent over an item, an item makes a tent over me, or me and that item are in the same tent. So here the case would be, we're changing the case.
Why is that tent over me?
It's not. No, the tent would be the tent of the tumah itself is over you. Does the corpse make a tumah over me? Do I make a tumah over the corpse? Or is there is another canopy over me and the corpse together? Here, the Gemara says, I have Chatzik Zayis in one hand, myself and the corpse are in another OL, it's over me. It says Tahor. Why? E Chad Shmahu Amai Tahor. If it's all one name, why is it considered Tahor? They should combine. Gemara says, wait a second. Now that you a better question. That's a steer in the Mishnah. Right? Gemara says, Elakasha Resha. It's a kasha between the Resha and the Seif of the Mishnah. It's a steer in the Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, okay, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says, Bituma Ritsutsa Ben Shnei Migdolim. What you have here is you have, this tumor, this chatzik zayis of flesh, is pressed between two things that are very tight together, like between two closets. Right? It's pressed between two closets. So your hand is over it. The case is that's the case in the ratio. The case in the ratio was again that I'm holding a chatzik zayis here, and my hand is over another chatzik zayis. So we said that, oh, we must show that Ohel and Mag are the same thing. So the Gemara says is that what your mile over is a piece of Kazayis that's like pressed in between here. And when it's pressed in between here, the Halacha Moshina is that it's pressed so much, it's viewed as if the piece of meat is higher, and putting your hand over is as if you're touching it. It's only in that specific case where the tumor is in a case where it's really pressed together. Like, right? That's what he seems to say. Right? Amar Rab Zera, Bituma Ritsutsa. It's pressed, the chukah, to press Ben Shnei Migdolim. Between two cabinets, the ein beinei and poseach tefach. There's no tefach between these two migdalim. Ein beinei poseach tefach. Kula negihi. It's all viewed as if you're touching. Rashi says, where is it? Oh, okay. He says the kula negihu. It's Rashi, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it's like 8 lines when they get short. It's amazing. You can have all these, go through the Masifta and go through the Arshkol and try to figure out. You go to Rashi sometimes, it's just there. It says, Tekula Negiyahi, Afilu hu mahil umalim in abasa ar harbe. Maybe even if his hand is high above this flesh. He go and shahayu ha migdolim givoim, like these chests are high, v'atum lamata, the tumor is only below it. And he puts his hand on top. Kari Negia. It's called Negia. Kevon, the Halacha Moshe Misinahi. It's Halacha Moshe Misinahi. The Tuma Ritsutsa Bokas. That pressed Tuma is viewed as if it's sort of like the pressure has moved the meat all the way to the top. The Tuma Ritsutsa Bokas, Havi Kamand Dimyali Tuma Kol Cholo. It's as if he says differently, as if the flesh is now considered spread into the entire airspace of that, between them. Therefore, we have no support to Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yochanan said that Oel and Maga consider the same thing, and our raya was, I'm touching this, and a mile over this, you see it's the same thing, they combine. He goes, no, this is a special case of pressed tumah, and the case of pressed tumah, it's as if you touch it. But in a regular case where it's not pressed, if it's just lying on the floor and a mile over it, who says that's the same din? That's the safer of the case, which does not view it as the same category, and therefore I don't have a raya for Rabbi Yochanan that maga is sometimes called that Ol is something called maga, and because again we came on to that because we want to say that our Mishnah does include Ol because our Mishnah says maga, so that's what, and Rabbi Yochanan says that includes Ol. So the Gemara says okay.
What's the matzias again of the pressed
thing? I have two pieces of right here. Okay, this, and let's just say this goes all the way down to the floor, and the meat is in here, and there's no tefach between these two things. It's pressed together. So Halacha Moshe Mishina is viewed as if the piece of meat takes up the entire airspace. So if I put my hand over here, it's as if I'm touching, the meat, because it's viewed as a being there. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, Uman Tana Dekari L'Oel Nogeya. So who is, Rabbi Yochanan still needs a source, who is the Tana who says that sometimes, or that we view touching and Oel as the same category? And that's why when our Mishnah said, Kulyas Hameis Hanogeya Behen, that touching it, that is considered as the same thing if you have the Oel, right? Just one second. Right, Nogeya is Mile. So Gemara says, no, it's Rabbi Yosihi. The Tanya, we have the following Braisa. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Milo Tarva Rakav. Okay, so what happens is you have a ladle full of a decomposed corpse. Okay, and the rules also by a decomposed corpse is it can only be corpse. Meaning if someone is buried in a shroud, and the shroud decomposes along with it, you don't have this halacha. Okay? So, and it has to be a whole body. This concept only exists if the body is buried whole, not if the body is buried in pieces. This is one of those Eddie Reichman Gemaras, because it has halacha l'maisa when it comes to mummies. So this is something that he talks about. Halacha l'maisa and mummies. Okay, right. So it says, Rabbi Yosihi, the tiny Rabbi Yosi Omer, Milo Tarvad Rakov. So I have a ladle full of decomposed of dust that's from the Aron of the Mace. Right? It's the leftover from the Mace. Right? Mitame bimage ubimasa ubaoel. If someone touches it, if someone moves it, if someone's mile over it, it's mitame. So Marshall's okay with it. Bishlama masa ubaoel. I understand if I carry it or a mile over it, then I'm mitame, because hakatoyin lekula. When I carry it, I'm carrying the whole amount. Okay. If I'm being mahil over it, I'm being mahil over the whole amount. About nogeya, but if I touch it, halo nagamakule, it's not one piece. It's dust particles, basically. So if I'm touching here, I'm not touching this here, so it's not a shear. So why am I going to be tame? So Gemara says, el alav shmamina, you see from here, that ma nogeya, what does it mean by nogeya? It means mahil. It means being mahil over it, because nogeya can't be. Gemara says, wait a second. How in the world can you tell me that maga means mile here if you listed all three separately? The Gemara says, Bahakatani nogeya, Bahakatani mahil. So you can't tell me that mahil means nogeya if nogeya is already mentioned separately. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, different types of oel. Remember we mentioned the different types of oel? Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, you're right. What's going on here is Lamata mitefach oel negia, Lamala mitefach oel greda. It depends, I guess, on where your mahil. If your mahil over it less than a tefach from the ground, that's considered nogeya. And if your mahil it above a tefach, that's considered ohel. I think so, right? So there, Rashi says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Rashi is like in the middle of the short line. Ha mahil lemata mitefach. If someone's lemahil matatefach, which means she'ain tefach bein yodah l'tuma, if there's no tefach between my hand and the tuma, kari le oel negiya. That's called oel negiya. That's the type of oel that's called negiya. Ule abaye lo mitumkum masnisin k'Rabbi Yochanan. According to Abaye, now we can't establish this mission like Rabbi Yochanan. De lo mikri mayel nogeya el lemata mitefach davik negiya. This can't be a raya for Rabbi Yochanan, because the only type of oel that's called negiya is if it's less than a tefach. Rabbi Yochanan made no distinction. So this is not a source anymore. We've answered the Mishnah, but it's not a source for Rabbi Yochanan. So Rava Amar says no. Rava Amar says, Afilu l'mala mitefach nami ol negiyahu. It's always called negiya ol. L'mala mitefach, less than a tefach. Vehechi dami ochel greda b'hamshacha. What's considered ol? That's hamshacha. What's hamshacha? Remember we mentioned the different types of tumas ol. So real tumas ol is when myself, I, and the corpse are in a room, and there's a tent over us. That's tumas ohel. But if I am mile over the corpse, or the corpse is mile over me, that's considered negia. That's considered nogeya. So in our Mishnah here, when it mentions mahil, it's talking about that other type of ohel. Again, it's no riot for Rabbi Yochanan, because we don't have any place where it says that this type of OL is considered, that all OL is considered Negiyah, I guess, right? Let's read again. Rava Amar Rashi, Rava Rashi, it's like towards the end of the short lines. Rava Amar Filu Ma'am Tefach Ol Nagiya Mikri. Oh, Bishapir Mutukum Ratsnik Rav Yochanan Rav Yossi. Okay, it is a raya to Rav Yochanan. Because when is it considered? Oh, Ol is considered Maga if it's those two ways. It's not only not considered Maga in the Hamshacha case. So when Rav Yochanan says that Ol is considered Maga, that is in the regular two cases. Okay, but Dabar Acher Ma'am. So it is a raya to Rav Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that Ol is considered, that Maga is considered Ol. What's the case of Maga is considered Ol? The case where I'm Mahil over the corpse, or the corpse is Mahil over me. That's fine. Why, in the Mishnah over here, what this Mishnah mentions Ol, when it mentions Ol, that Ol is talking about, the two Ols are mentioned. The Maga is talking about Rabbi Yochanan's Ol, and when it mentions Ol again, it's talking about the Ol of Hamshacha, or both of us being in the same tent. Okay. So Amar Rava. Rava says, Mina Aminala. Where do I know what I said? Meaning, where do I know that what I said, according to Rav Yossi, that if you are Mahil over a Tefach, that's considered as if you touched it. Right? So where did I know that Rav Yossi is a proof of Rav Yochanan? Where did I prove that? So Gemara says as follows. It says the Tanan, but it's not in Mishnah. It's a Tosefta in Olos. Right? I only know that because it says, right? The Tanan. Right. Rav Yossi Omer, Rav Yossi says, Chavile Mita Usrige Chalonos Chotitzin Ben Habayis La'alila Ben Habayis La'aliyah Shelo La'achas Tumla Tzalasheni. So in the olden days, the way they used to make a bed was that they would lace the ropes that would in between. And also, it seems to be like a sort of Srige Chalonos, or like these lattice windows, like a sort of like a screen, like a screen window. So if I have these types of things, separating between the upper floor and the lower floor. So does that cause the chatzitza? Now we're in a separate room between the tumah that's below and the tumah that's above. So Rav Yossi says that, yeah, the chavile mita and the sri chalonos, chotzisim, they make a chatzitza, bein abayis la'aliyah, they protect the up, let's say the corpse is downstairs, it protects the upstairs, shelo lahachlis tumah tzad sheni, it won't allow the tumah to go to the second thing. Now, but, parson al pnei hames ba'avir, if you just sort of just like held it over the mace, right? Just held it over the mace like this, that's not going to be separation. Then nogeya kinegin hanekev tameh, if I touch where one of the holes are, right? This is lattice work. So if I touch a place where there's airspace, then then I'm going to be tameh. Shelo kinegin hanekev tower. But if I touch the rope itself above it, it's not going to be taller. Seems to be the Tosefta. Gemara asks, Gemara says, okay, take it up. What's going on? What's the case? So now, Elema, why in the second case is Batame? Elema, that it's spread out over the mace directly. Elema, lematak mitefach, that it's less than a tefach from the mace, right? Shalok neged anekev, amai tahor. Why is that tahor? You should mace biksusahu, it says if the mace is in the tachrichin, it's the same thing as being in tachrichin, u mace biksuso metame. And the mace in tachrichin is metame, because the tumor is bokas va'ola, it goes all the way up. Elalav l'mal mitefach. It must be higher than a tefach. If it's higher than a tefach, and kakari le nogeya, it says that you're nogeya, and therefore what?
Opposite a hole.
Right. It says that you're nogeya. Opposite. So if you're nogeya, opposite a hole, your tummy. But nogeya, you're not touching it. You're being mahir. That's his source. Mora says no. There's no proof. Amar Abaye l'olam l'mata mitefach. Maybe we're talking about where this lattice work is less than a tefach over the corpse. Right? Now, the kamata mace b'ksusahu, and you're going to say that the mace is in its ksus? No, it's different. Tachrichin is different than like this than the screen window over it. Why? Because b'ksuso mevatale, halam mevatale. When you put the tachrichin on the mace, you mevatale the tachrichin to the mace, making it a part of the mace. When I put this lattice work and cover over it to cover it, I'm not mevatel it, otherwise I would wrap him up in it. I'm just using it there to protect. So that's not mevatel, therefore it can still be considered a chatzitza if it's less than a teflach over. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'tahave tumah tumuna bokas va'ola. The question that we said before, if it's less than a teflach over the mace, well then there's no airspace between it, and then the teflach is considered pressed, and the tumah goes up to the shamayim. It goes up. Why not? So Kasava Rabbi Yossi Tuma Tumuna Eina Bokas. Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold to this. This idea, so Rabbi Yossi would be great for the Kohanim on the airplane. He doesn't hold, right? I mean, he doesn't hold that that the tuma projects upward if there's less than a tefach. He doesn't hold that the tuma projects upward. So now this Gemara is going to ask, okay, how do we know that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold this? That every time we make a statement in the Gemara, then we try to bring, we go back now to bring a source for that. We keep going. That's how the step to step. So Gemara says, where do we know that for Rabbi Yose, the tuma, like buried tuma, does not project upward, upwards? It's not, because we have a Mishnah in Maseches Olos, in Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis. So this is, I think this is the case. Tevas Migdol. So I have this cabinet, I guess. And Rashi says that it's this big aron, and that it seems like you make drawers in it. You make these drawers inside of it, right? And one of the drawers in the Migdal, sheyish ba poseach tefach, it itself, I guess, has the inside of a tefach, but the ain be yitziyasa poseach tefach. It doesn't have an opening of poseach tefach. I'm not sure how exactly you make that. Call your carpenter, Mati, figure it out. Okay, so it's too small. It's too small to open. Right? The ain be yitziyasa poseach tefach. And tuma besocha, and there's some tuma inside. I don't know if anybody built it around it somehow, I guess. The tuma besocha. So, and it's in the house. So bayis tame, the house is tame. Midrabanan, this is the rabbanan, the house is tame. We view that the tuma can come out. Midrabanan, bayis tame. But tuma bayis, if there's a corpse in the house, then masha besocha tahor. Then we don't view whatever inside this drawer is tahor. Meaning midrabanan will allow the tuma to come out, but we're not allowing the tumah to go into this drawer. Why? In the end of the day, the derech is to take this tumah out. Eventually, someone's going to crack open this drawer to get rid of the... But we're not necessarily going to crack open a drawer to allow tumah to come in. We're going to crack open the drawer to allow the tumah to come out. But ain't derech tumah likanes. The Rav Yossi mitar. Rav Yossi says, no, the entire house is still tahor, even if you have this, even, right? Because theoretically, it's not 100% guaranteed. Talking about Dindar Abanan, it's not 100% guaranteed that this tumah is going to come out. I could chop it up where it is, or I can burn the whole thing where it is. Theoretically, there's a way to get rid of this piece without it coming out. So therefore, the vayis is not going to be tame. The Katani Sefer, the Sefer, the Mishnah says, though, he'emida bepesach u'pischa l'chut. So let's say this is the drawer. So I think it's this way. So the small opening is on the outside. So it's facing on the outside, and there's the tame inside. So hamida bepesach upiskal chutz tuma besocha, and there's tuma inside habayis tahor. The house, which is this way, is still going to be katar. The rabban did not make the takana; it's still tahor. And tuma bayis, if there's tuma in the house, masha besocha tahor. And what's inside is also tahor because it's not going to get anywhere. It's the back. The opening is over here. So Gemara says v'tani yallah, and we learned on this Reb Yossi mitar. Bryce says in this case Reb Yossi says it's tahor. Okay, well wait a second, right? He just says tahor. So what is Rav Yossi talking about? Ahai. When Rav Yossi says, no, it's Tahor, what case in the race of the Sefer is he talking about? So we'll get a little further down. So Ile Ma Sefer, if he's talking about the Sefer, can't be, because even the Tanakama holds that the Sefer, the case is Tahor. Tanakama Nami Tahuri Kamitar. Ella must be the Ka'amar Tanakama Tuma Besocha Bayis Tamei. So you make this case up. It must be talking about the Resha of the Brisa. Right, the race of the Brisa, the Tanakama said, or have the drawer inside the house. The drawer's inside the house. He's saying the tumah comes out. The Tanakama says the tumah comes out, and therefore the bias is tame. Rav Yossi says it's tahor, but we already have that mentioned in the ratio. So what's this extra Rav Yossi tahor? Must be that there was another argument. There was a subsumed argument in the Mishnah as well. Right, the Ka'amar Tanakama, the Tanakama says, tumah besocha, habayis tame, the house is tame, for one of two reasons. Imishum b'derach tumah latzeis. Either you can say because it's the derech of the tumah to come out, eventually you're going to open it and take the tumah out. V'imishum the tumah tumunu bokas. Or I guess it's standing this way. You're going to say the tumah's inside. It's pressed inside. We say there's not enough space, so it's pressed inside. The tumah is going to proceed outwards, right? Imishum tumah tumunu bokas. And that's when Rav Yossi comes and says. Rav Yossi says the ka'amar le Rav Yossi dika amarta derech tumunu. Let's say you can say that maybe the tumah is going to come out. There's no guarantee the tumah is going to come out because yachulah to the chatzayin will suffer from coma. Maybe he burns it on the spot and it doesn't come out. Your other argument, which wasn't in the Mishnah, which we're making up now, your other argument that dukamarta that tumah tumunu bokas, that the buried tumah inside, which is pressed down because there's not a tefach space, is going to proceed outward. I say tumah tumuna ain't bokas. I don't hold of that. That's why I say it is it's taller. So you see from here that Rav Yossi doesn't hold of the concept of tumah bokas ve'ola. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow is pretty much exactly the same. Okay, so we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day.